वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 27 इंद्र एंड सुरवी ऑफर प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। कूतनु तद् धेतव एष तत्कृता लोभादयो ये बुधलिङ्गभावः तथापि दण्डं भगवान् बिभर्ति धर्मस्य गुप्तै खलनिग्रहाय कुतो नु तद्धेतव इष तत्कृता लोभादयो ये अबुधलिङ्गभावः तथापि दण्डं भगवान् बिभर्ति धर्मस्य गुप्तै खलनिग्रहाय कुत नु तद्धेतव इष तत्कृता लोभादयो ये बुधलिङ्गभावः तथापि दण्डं भगवान् बिभर्ति धर्मस्य गुप्ते खल निग्रहाय Matajesh. Kutaha, how, no, certainly, tat, of that, existence of material body, hetavaha, the causes, isha, O Lord, tat kritaha, produced by one's connection with the material body, lova adayaha, greed and so forth, ye which abudha of an ignorant person, linga bhavaha symptoms, tatha api nevertheless, dandam punishment, bhagavan the supreme personality of Godhead, vivarti wills dharmasya of the principles of religion, guptei for the protection, khala of wicked persons, nigrahaya for the chastisement. Translation: how then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence and which cause one to become further entangled in material existence. And yet, as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment to protect religious principle and curb down the wicked. Purported by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This complex philosophical statement by Indra may be analyzed as follows. In the first line of this verse, Indra refers to the main idea expressed at the end of the previous verse, namely, the great currents of material existence, which are based on ignorance, cannot possibly exist within the Supreme Lord. The words tat dhetabha and tat kritaha indicate that something causes the modes of nature to manifest, and that they in turn become the cause of that which caused them. In the second line of this verse, we find that it is material feelings such as greed, lust, envy and anger that cause the modes of nature to manifest, and that are themselves caused by the modes of nature. The explanation of this seeming paradox is as follows. When the conditioned soul decides to associate with material qualities, he becomes contaminated by those qualities. As stated in Gita 13.22, Karanam gunasangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. For example, in the presence of a seductive woman, a man may give in to his lower instincts and try to enjoy sex with her. By his deciding to associate with lower qualities of nature, those qualities manifest in him very powerfully. He is overwhelmed with lust and driven to try again and again to satisfy his burning desire. Because his mind has been infected by lust, all that he does, thinks and speaks will be influenced by his strong attachment to sex. In other words, by choosing to associate with lusty qualities of nature, he has caused them to powerfully manifest within himself. And eventually, those lusty desire qualities themselves will cause him to accept another material body, suitable for affairs governed by those qualities. The lower qualities, such as lust, greed, anger and envy, are abhuta linga bhava, symptoms of ignorance. Indeed, as indicated by Srila Sridhar Swami in his commentary, the manifestation of the modes of nature is synonymous with the manifestation of particular material body. It is clearly explained throughout the Vedic literature that the conditioned soul receives a particular body, gives it up and then accepts another body simply because of his involvement with the modes of nature. Karanam guna sangarsha. Thus, to say that one is participating in the modes of nature is to say that one is accepting particular types of bodies suitable for the particular material qualities one is involved with. An ignorant bystander might have simplistically interpreted Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill as follows. The residents of Vrindavan were obliged by Vedic principles to make certain offerings to God of heaven, Indra. Child Krishna, ignoring the position of Indra, usurped these offerings and took them for his own pleasure. When Indra tried to punish Krishna and his associates, the Lord frustrated Indra's attempt, humiliated him and exhausted his pride and resources. But this superficial interpretation is refuted in this verse. Here Lord Indra addresses Sri Krishna as Bhagavan, indicating that he is not an ordinary child but in fact God. Therefore, Krishna's punishing Indra was part of his mission of protecting religious principles and curving down the envious. It was not a display of material anger, of greed or greed for the offerings meant for Indra. Sri Krishna is pure spiritual existence and his simple sublime desire to engage all living beings in perfect blissful life of Krishna consciousness. Krishna's desire to make us Krishna conscious is not egoistical, since ultimately Krishna is everything and Krishna consciousness is objectively the best consciousness. Lord Indra is really the humble servant of Krishna, a fact he is now beginning to remember. Hare Krishna. So in this particular chapter, first of all, I would like to beg the blessings of devotees here to speak something on this topic. the purport very nicely explains that how Krishna's pastimes can be easily misunderstood. That here it is written very nicely that one can conclude that Krishna was envious of Indra when he saw that such pompous ceremonies organized to worship and offer great offerings to Indra. He was envious. You know, somebody else is worshipped. If there is envy within us, then we get affected by that. So we try to make all kind of plans to break that, to stop that, and instead, you know, make arrangements so that the offering can come to us. That's sign of envy. So one may think that Krishna is envious of Indra, so he stopped that puja. Rather, in form of Govardhan, he accepted that puja himself. So this is what one may misunderstand. And when Indra tried to punish Krishna because of that offense, or so-called offense, a misunderstood offense, then Krishna in return retaliated and taught him a lesson, kind of, that kind of thing. But actually, whole intention was not like this. That's the whole point of driving this. So Krishna is trying to break the pride of Indra, at the same time he is helping him to come to his own constitutional position and be happy as servant of Krishna. Be Krishna conscious and not entertain false pride, which is cause of a lot of difficulties for himself. So sometimes people wonder why Krishna does this kind of things, where apparently it appears that he is greedy, lusty and things like that. So one devotee recently, because this Damodar Leela is going on, he was asking that someone is explaining that how in this pastime Krishna displays these qualities, lust, greed and anger. He was very lusty, or he had an intense desire to enjoy the milk of Mother Yashoda, small baby child. So he was so much desire that was he was kept drinking and drinking and drinking that love of Mother Yashoda in the form of milk. But that is lust, basically kama. And as he was drinking, he developed more desire to drink. That means he was becoming greedy, basically. Drinking more and more and more means greedy. And when that was stopped, then he became angry. So, that's how Gita, how Lord Krishna himself explains in Gita how that kama leads to greed and anger, basically. From the first chapter, one becomes angry. This is cause of This is burning out of modes of material nature. Kamayasa, krodayasa, samdho, rajaguna. Rajaguna means modes of material nature, passion. It burns out of that. So he is displaying these qualities. So what is this confusion? And then the devotee explains that how that we sing this nice, Satyavrata Muni's prayers, Damodarastikam. Where he's saying all these things, then he says, Iti driksa lilavir ananda kunde. Sokhasa nimajjantam akhyapayantam. That by displaying these qualities, which is apparently appears to be, for a mundane person who is not able to understand the personality of Krishna, they may conclude like that. It appears that he is lusty. But what is the result? The result is that the entire Brajavasis are drowned in ecstasy of bliss. Iti drikso lilavir ananda kunde. Kunda means like a pond. Everybody is drowned in that pond of bliss. So how, when one person in this world becomes lusty or envy, he causes a lot of miseries to many people around him. Isn't it? Somebody is lusty, greedy, envious, then the entire environment is polluted and consciousness, his vibrations are very odd, making the whole situation very difficult. Somebody is angry, somebody is frustrated, somebody is greedy and lusty, then the whole environment is pure, not pure, impure, and one feels very uncomfortable, unhappy. But here Krishna is displaying these qualities apparently for the mundane eyes, but the result we see is that everyone is happy. They are drowned in bliss. So that means that pastime where Krishna shows these qualities, which is increasing the pleasure of the devotees, is not one of mundane material nature. It is something very ecstatic, transcendental. It helps one to become happy by listening to these pastimes. How, for example, he's stealing, as Shyamananda Prabhu was sharing with me, he was saying, once he's stealing butter all over. So once Baladev said, Lord Baladev, Balaramji, he said, we have lost a lot of reputation, it's now enough. Let us stop stealing business. So then Krishna says, you see, if you don't like, then you stop coming with us. But chori ka mal mere ko zyada acha lagta hai. Then stolen stuff is more releasable. So therefore I am going to do it anyway. If you like, you come. If you don't like, you don't come. So one who is the owner of everything, from whose everything is emanating, the source of everything, is the source of all the kamadhanu cows and all suravi cows, and he is going to plan schemes and take his friends and then with all enthusiasm and adventures they enter and steal and then release, that is something more than anything we can call stealing. It is really something that attracts devotees' attention and heart. So in this way, Krishna, by his activities, actually, apparently people who are not full or ignorant and not trained in devotional matter and not heard from the right sources, they may conclude like this. But the whole purpose of Lord Krishna in doing these activities not only increase the pleasure of devotees, but at the same time there is a purpose that Indra should be corrected. And in this chapter, Lord Krishna actually tells, towards the end of this chapter, only one or two verses he speaks to Indra, doesn't speak much to him. He says, I did this just to break your pride. You had developed a false pride which is not good for your position, because you are a king and you are a leader. And it is not proper for you to behave in this way. So then, as Lord Krishna, who actually came as the Supreme Lord to establish religion, and as presented himself as the Supreme Lord also, and he says in Bhagavad Gita that I am that Supreme Lord, there is no one who is superior to me. In 15th chapter he says very clearly to Arjuna, Matta Parataram Nanyatan, many verses are there like that. That how I am superior to Paramatma and I am actually Bhagavan, that personality who is the best of all personalities, Purushottama, that is 15th chapter. So establishes, and he can do this really humbling. The way Indra is humbled is really something. He tried all his forces and everything, but he was humbled by Krishna. But same Krishna, when he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes up the role of a devotee. And although he is the same Supreme Lord, but he humbles pride in others in different way, not the way Indra was trying to put all the forces in list. Nothing happens and he fails and things like that. But the mood in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sobers is something little different. That approach is little different. Because he is presenting himself as a role of devotee. Something we can learn from a little bit and try to follow that footsteps. Because we can't follow Krishna's footsteps. I mean, in that, the way he humbled Indra, lifting Govardhan and all, showing his prowess, is something that is not possible for people like devotees like us. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set certain standards in which we can deal with people and at the same time encourage everyone to become devotees. So the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is that in this world people are filled with all these qualities: lust, greed, anger, pride, and to sober them down is not an easy affair. We are all going through that kind of situations, because part of material world, material body, because of our own karma we have achieved certain situations, certain bodies which have certain, because modes have already affected, so certain results are, you know, coming forth from us. So in that situation, trying to become Krishna conscious and help others Krishna consciousness, to become Krishna conscious, is not an easy thing. It's like a tough business. So here we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is supremely pure personality, but in the role of devotee, how helps others to become Krishna conscious? At the same time, gradually release them from that contamination of lust, greed, anger, all down pride. And especially pride is addressed in this chapter. So I thought I'll just take one or two pastimes and try to discuss that. Okay. So, of course, we know all these pastimes. Like, we know this Damodar Lila. But why we discuss again and again? Because discussing these things will gradually develop taste. Like, why we should visit Vrindavan every year, or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri? Somebody may say, well, I have already visited these places, there is no need to go anymore. Somebody may say like that. But just think, and in my own mundane way, I always compare. If you go to a very good restaurant, and they serve very nice food, say, dosas or whatever, best in the area, or maybe another town, maybe in Pune. And you had gone once and you experienced that taste there, and you really liked it. Will you say, I have already tried, I don't want any more? We'll never say like that. We'll try to look for opportunity. Normally we go to Pune, okay, make some kind of timetable, somewhere adjust and go and release that. That is called experience. So all of us has gone to Vrindavan and places like Mayapur, Jagannathpur, and we have certain experiences. So if we really are happy with those experiences, we should seek it out again and again, isn't it? So similarly, if we develop taste in Krishna Katha, it's not that one gets boring with that. What to, in the mundane world we see those examples, what to speak of Krishna consciousness. So these pastimes can reveal newer and newer meanings and newer realizable things that can naturally come out as we discuss again and again. Just like Kaviraj Goswami says, when you rub or chandan, what do you call that process? Rubbing or, you know, and with camphor, the more you do it, the flavor comes more and more and more. Similarly, Krishna Katha, as we discuss more and more and more, we release that pastimes. So similarly here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are like that. So one of them is, when Lord Chaitanya was still young, Srila Prabhupada says around age of 11, he was teaching grammar to the students of Namadvip, and one big pandit comes there. His name is Keshava Kashmiri. I don't think his title is Kashmiri, because he is from Kashmir, therefore that thing comes, Kashmiri. Keshava, who is from Kashmir. Keshava Kashmiri. And he is a big pandit. He is blessed by Mother Saraswati. Whenever he would speak, Mother Saraswati would manifest in his throat, and he would make excellent presentations. Captivated everyone. And not only that, he was expert in giving arguments and defeating others in debates. So when he appeared in Navadvipa, it is explained, many scholars, they simply left the village, because they knew that this person is going to defeat us. They are scared of him. So, why they left? Because if they are around and asked to debate, if they say no, they got defeated, basically. If they are not there, after when they return, they say, oh, we are not there. So, you know, you can't say that we didn't want the match. We are not there. What to do? So many left. But others were there, and some of them are actually, it is explained that they were envious of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his scholarship. Nimai, a small boy, he was arrogant, he was displaying that arrogance. Again, Supreme Lord. That arrogance is also pleasurable to hear. And they were envious. They said to Kashmiri that you first go and debate with this Nimai Pandit. If you defeat him, then we'll talk to you. And in the meantime, they're thinking that Nimai Pandit will be defeated by him, he will be humiliated, then they will see what to do. But this is his proposal, you can go and debate with him. So, then they said that he has a school, by the Ganges, and you can just go and discuss. And that place in Navadvipa, I think, Mayapur, is called Barakona Ghat, it's explained. I was thinking, why that name Barakona? 12 angles or joints, you can say. That means the Ganges must be flowing in a very, curvy way during those days, that places. No pollution those days. Nice green trees, everything is. We can imagine whatever we can. And it was evening time. And in evening time, especially, the wind breezes blows very smoothly. And the reddish sun was, going down as if entering to the womb of Mother Ganges. Very beautiful scene. Lord Nimai, he was sitting, Nimai Pandit sitting, very attractive, beautiful, amongst thousands and thousands of his students. And they are discussing grammar. Of course, he was discussing about Krishna's name, pastimes and all those things using grammar. And it was very captivating. And Keshav Kashmir happens to pass by that area, then he saw this, he got attracted. Then he sat down among the students. Then he asked, who is he? Then he said, you don't know, he is Nimai Pandit, the great grammar scholar. He said, oh, this is the Nimai Pandit, the great scholar, grammar teacher. Grammar teacher is considered to be a little inferior than what he was doing. Then somebody told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Keshav Kashmir is here. Then immediately he welcomed him saying, we are very fortunate. I myself and all my students are fortunate because you are amongst us. Now he kind of welcomed him very nicely. Of course, as Lord, he exactly knew the kind of pride this person is carrying because of his, scholarship and all. But the way he welcomed him was very nice. So how he is helping to become Krishna, basically, at the same time breaking the pride. Then he said, because you are here and we know that you are a great learned scholar, why don't you glorify Mother Ganga and compose some poetry? And within a few moments he started speaking glories of Ganga in 100 verses, 100 original Sanskrit verses. I don't know how many of us have tried to write some article in BTG, some devotees have tried to write article in BTGs, and even difficult is to write actually poetry. Very tough. Singing is easier, but how Satyavrata Muni wrote those verses, something, Bhagavatam, everything. So, but he did it in few moments, and those who have tried it, they know how tough the whole thing is. The students are Mahaprabhu students, in those days they are all doing all these things. So they're like kind of shocked. And then Mahaprabhu also appreciated. He says, excellent, very nice. Then he told him, can you take any one verse and explain it to us? Because you spoke so fast and so nicely. Only you and Mother Saraswati can understand. You know, kind of in a very indirect way, he passed a comment. It's so great that nobody can, like, I remember in our university days, one Nobel laureate came to give a presentation on some topic, spectroscopy and all. And all students went to that. And he was speaking something nobody could understand. It's all going over the head. But all of us are gathered there, I think, for the tea and sandwiches and all those things. Nothing was understood. Everybody was saying, great, great, Nobel laureate. But at the same time, we see here Mahaprabhu is speaking something like that, you know. Our Gaurang Prabhu also shares one. He was in this Calcutta where His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Prabhupada disciple, organized that Science Religion Congress in Calcutta. And scientists from all over, because he was a high power personality, he had a lot of contacts. Many Nobel laureates came to that conference from Japan, from America, from Europe. Many scientists came. It was like full packed. And I think our Maharaj Radhama Swami Maharaj and Gaurang Prabhu was sitting there. And the prasadam was elaborate there, like some 40-50 items. And after lunch, while sitting in a dark classroom where they're presenting through PPTs, and after having good lunch and AC hall, and nothing is understood, nobody can understand what they're speaking, and naturally one will go to sleep. So Maharaj asked, "You are from IIT?" I was asking Gaurang Prabhu. So I think you must be understanding what they're speaking. So Gaurang Prabhu said, "No, yes, something they're speaking, but in between I fall asleep." So Maharaj said, "In between I wake up." That is a much better situation. It is just a kind of joke. But the point is, yes, in a similar spirit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is kind of saying, he is so high class that only you and, Mother Saraswati, they can understand. We are simple people, and can you just take one verse and explain? Then he said, okay, which verse you want? It is explained at the same time that when Kesakaswara actually saw Mahaprabhu, he felt a kind of fear. Just like when Kamsa was planning to kill Krishna all the time, but all these Chandor mustik, they were seeing Krishna as a death personified. Although he was a small young boy, he was also 11. He also kind of felt a kind of fear. So he was trying to hide that fear at the same time boasting, okay, which verse we want. So immediately Mahaprabhu quoted this, verse, which is like somewhere in 60s or 63, 64, whatever the number. And it's a very complex verse. I'll try to read it. But anyway, what happens? He speaks this verse, then this person was kindly shocked. He said, "Somebody, how can somebody speak this?" He said, "How could you remember this verse perfectly?" So Mahaprabhu said, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, basically, although he was getting his power from Mother Saraswati, he didn't acknowledge that. He was present as if he is speaking. But when Mahaprabhu said how he knew, he connected to Supreme Lord. He said, "By merciful Lord, you are a great devotee of Saraswati and you can speak eloquently. By the same Lord's mercy, I am a Sutidhar. If I hear, I remember." So that even scared him all the more. And still he was saying, okay. Then he spoke few good points about this verse. Then Mahaprabhu said, "Very nice. And now can you explain some faults and some more good points?" He said, "There is no fault. How can you say there is fault? You are a grammar teacher. What do you know about this thing? How can you comment? You cannot comment." He just rejected him straightforward. He was totally disgusted, frustrated. The anger has already, more so material nature manifested him in already, one after other. And he was saying, you can't even comment on this. So Mahaprabhu says, no, I am just a simple teacher. I don't know all these things. But I have heard from other sources. Again, he is kind of taking humble position and saying, I have heard authorities and based on them I can give some comments. Then he could not refuse now. It was like a kind of scientific debate now going on, where it is based on authorities and the Guru Sadhu Shastra. That type of discussion going on. So, he had to accept, he had to say, oh, okay, you are quoting authorities, you have to speak it out. Then Mahaprabhu finds the faults, one after other. And he goes on finding so many faults. He says basically there are 5 faults, but then while explaining he says even much more. And every fault was such a, some of them are very silly actually. And for such a big pandit who goes beyond grammar and just make very ornamental poetry and all these things, for him to commit such a silly mistakes is like suicidal basically. You cannot even keep your head above your shoulder anymore. So one of them, like he says, Mahatvam Gangaya Satatam Idam Abahati Nirantaram, constantly flowing this Ganga. But he is saying Ganga Vyam Satatam Idam. This is the word. So what the fault is, Mahaprabhu says that the some technical fault basically, I will not go to detail, but the point is Ganga is something unknown. What is Ganga we know in general, but from the verse point of view, verse is going to describe Ganga. So that means Ganga is unknown. Okay. So trying to describe something unknown, then saying this. Ganga idam, this comes later. It is something, a technical mistake. Try to understand. I am trying to describe something that is not known and saying this. If something I know, then I can say next this. Isn't it? Is this making sense? If I say something like, I don't know how to explain it, but the point is, if something is unknown, you cannot say this, basically. If something is known, then you say, okay, this is like, ye jo cheez hai, ye aisa hai. Something like that. So it has to be known first. And because he used the word idam after saying angavayam, which is not known yet, therefore it's a fault. And similarly many, many faults. Then the final, which is very kind of offensive in the verse is, all of us know, Bhavani Bhartur. The Lord Shiva, on whose he is holding this Mother Ganga on his head, that is like glorifying Mother Ganga, because he is the best of all devas, but he is putting Mother Ganga on his head, that is like something glorious. But describing Lord Shiva, he says Bhavani Bhartur. Bhavani means Mother Parvati, Bhartur means her husband. But the words are very wrongly used, because Bhavani means wife of Bhava, that is Parvati. So wife of Lord Shiva, her husband, when we say it, see for that, she has another husband. Wife of Lord Shiva's husband. When you say wife of Lord Shiva's husband, that means some other husband is there. So that is little offensive. It's like something, she would feel very bad to speak something like that about Mother Parvati. So in this one after other, then Mahaprabhu said, no, don't worry. There are so many big, big pandits, Kalidas and all those. They also make mistakes. But what we see is that their poetries are very nice and we have to take that part. We don't have to worry about the mistakes. Mistakes happens. Even Shakespeare says, big poet, big author, to err is human. So don't worry about it. There are some good points also. Then he describes some few good points, which is very excellent good points he takes out, which is better than what he spoke about his own verse. Then he says, don't worry, just go home. And when the students of Mahaprabhu started laughing at him, he stopped them. And he explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was telling Keshav Kashmiri the faults, He just didn't spoke it in a very derogatory way. It is explained that he actually became serious. He took a very serious bhava, then saying, these are the faults actually. So he didn't took it very badly. It was done in such a way that he left the place, but then started praying to Mother Saraswati, why this happened to me? It never happened before. And then she reveals that he is actually our Supreme Lord. Then Mahaprabhu tells him, now you go to Vrindavan. And the whole purpose of learning and scholarship is basically to render devotional service. Whole aim of goal of knowledge, to know, knowledge means to know, to understand, is that we have to become servant of Sarvanam Lord Krishna. That's the whole idea. So in this we say that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of devotee, he breaks the pride, at the same time brings forth Krishna consciousness within that person in a very nice way. Another example is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Udupi, that where he met the Tattvavadis. This is a little controversial topic. But there, Mahaprabhu, when he went and danced in front of Lord Krishna, Udupi Krishna, in a very ecstatic way. So the devotees were living there, follower of Madhavacharya, Sripad Madhavacharya. At the first he thought he could be a Mayavadi person. Because sannyasi, Mayavadi, Mayavadis were more in those days. So they mistook him as a Mayavadi and they kept a distance. But when they saw the ecstasies in him, they understood that he could be actually Vaishnava, so they welcomed him. And then Mahaprabhu understood that they have a pride. Pride can be anywhere actually. It is said, pride is all pervasive. Others' qualities may or may not be there depending on situation. But pride is everywhere. Even a beggar is proud of his pauper. Penny. Pauper is proud of penny. That statement is there. So even in devotees, it can manifest. So it was there, so Mahaprabhu wanted to rectify that. But how he dealt with them? He asked them, how do I know what is proper sadhya and sadhana? Or what is the goal of life and what is the means to achieve that goal? This is the same verse and same question was asked by Tapan Mishra in Bangladesh when Mahaprabhu was visited there. Same type of verse. But he said, I have read so many literature, so many books, and I got really confused. I don't know what is itna, after reading so many books, I don't know what is sadhya and what is sadhana. What is the proper goal? What is the goal and what is the proper means? And then Mahaprabhu just told him to chant Hare Krishna and send him to, I think, Varanasi. And later, while describing the whole philosophy to Sanatan Goswami, he took him in that area. So both of them could hear it. But here Mahaprabhu is asking the question to these acharyas. And they said that by following varnashram, there are five types of muktis which you have to achieve. Well, five types of muktis we know, that means entering spiritual world. Sahujya is the one merging with the Brahman. Salokya means living in the same planet, same Vaikuntha planet. Even better than that is Sarupya, having similar form, Samipya, living close to God. First is the Brahmajyoti, then the planet, then better than that is living near the Lord, Samipya Mukti. Then Sarupya means having similar form, and Sahajya means having similar opulence. These are like all different types of, five types of muktis. And following Varnasram system properly to please Vishnu, one can enter those areas. So Mahaprabhu said, actually, this is not the goal. And he explained very nicely that how Radha Gopinath ji ki, I'll just take 2-3 minutes. Mahaprabhu explained how that the Sravanam Kirtanam is actually the main goal. And mukti is something even devotees don't look forward to. Then he says how Chitrakuta Maharaj, when he was offended, when he was misunderstood by Mother Parvati of making an offense, she caused him to become a demoniac and go to hell. At that time, Lord Shiva explains that how Chitrakuta was still smiling and he was totally unaffected by that curse. Lord Shiva explained how the devotees don't care whether heaven or hell because they are always absorbed in hearing and chanting of the Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam, many verses very clearly explains how one may follow varnasram of following occupational duties, but one has to enter into the process of hearing and chanting. Because by entering that, the devotional service which is naturally within us will actually rekindled. It will actually come out, come forth. And then it doesn't matter where we stay. Sthana Sthitam, that verse is there, which says, it doesn't matter where we are. One has to, of course, follow varnasram, whatever he may be, depending on what qualities we have taken. But gradually we can transcend. The transcendence is possible only when one takes to the process of hearing chanting. And then, why it is better than the mukti? Because even in mukti, it is explained that how sahujya is something nobody wants. That is the goal of the jnanis. Even other places, there is no proper devotional service. In the sense that when Prahlad Maharaj says Sravanam Kirtanam, then he ends that saying that how does it end? Basically, it ends up in relationship with Lord, in the friendship, and all these rasas, which are actually even much more better. So the pure devotional service takes a person to a situation which is beyond mukti. Why? Because they conquer Krishna. They conquer Krishna, and Krishna is subordinate. Like friends or lovers and parental mood, all those things. But this process is possible only through hearing and chanting and without any attachment to karma or jnana. So doing karma and jnana and offering it to Vishnu to achieve mukti is one thing. And rendering devotional service, pure devotional service, but through hearing and chanting, the process is completely different. That is the point. That following varnashram to please Vishnu and achieving mukti is something not very superior. So Mahaprabhu concludes by saying, seeing me as a mendicant, you are not telling me what is it, you are just telling me something that is not good. So he is not saying that you don't know anything. So he asked them, they answered, but then you are hiding this, you should speak these things and you are speaking something different. What is this? This is how he humbled them. And then they said, no, we are just following Madhvacharya. He said, that is okay, but what is Madhvacharya teaching best is that you accept Krishna's form as transcendental and internal. That is good. But the real goal is not varnasram, the real goal is to go beyond it by through the process of parenting. And of course, many verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, we see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually nicely humbles, at the same time brings people closer to Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samat Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you. Evening today I'm not here.
You can bring me next week also. I'm not in a hurry.